Chinese Project turns 10. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, special guest host for Focus. This is Illinois Public Media. There are women involved in the business of farming, more than ever, in fact. And on Focus, we'll talk about Annie's Project today. It's a program designed by an Illinois woman in memory of her mother. It works to empower female farmers and women landowners. Annie's Project, in the classroom, in the field, and in the office. We'll take your questions up next on WILL's Focus, right after the news from National Public Radio. Ann Cohagen Fleck was working as a school teacher when she met her husband, Frank, in the mid-1940s, and he was a farmer, and she spent her life from the time they married in 1947 until her death in 1997, caring for the milk cows, the chickens, and raising her four children. She learned about farming, money management, crop insurance through trial and error, what her daughter Ruth Hamilton calls the hard way, not having grown up on a farm or having access to resources to help guide her through the complicated world of crop insurance and bookkeeping. In 2003, Ruth founded Annie's Project in honor of her mother to help women learn to manage farming operations along other side women. Other women, that is. This hour on Focus, we'll hear from Ruth about Annie's story, the project, and how it's helped empower more women to become stakeholders in agriculture. And Stephanie Butcher will be here, too. She manages the business for her family's 2,200-acre grain farm near Mount Auburn, Illinois. You can join our conversation as we talk about Annie's Project. Stephanie and Ruth, thank you so much for being with us this morning. We really appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome, and thank you for having us.
Well, let's start, Ruth, with you. Annie's Project, how did it come about?
Annie's Project came about as a result of a grant opportunity. The Risk Management Education Centers had a $2,000 grant where I was able to explore within the state of Illinois programs that were available for farm women. And as a result of that $2,000 grant, I discovered that we had programs for women in Illinois, but there wasn't anything comprehensive and certainly nothing of the educational level that we are achieving with Annie's Project. So in 2003, I wrote for a grant with the USDA, the Office of Outreach and Socially Disadvantaged Audiences. I received a grant for $40,000, and that's when Annie's Project was born. I designed the six classes, the subject matter that went into it, and held my first class in February of 2003 at Kaskaskia Community College with 10 very brave, pioneering spirit women.
How wide has that project grown now?
We are now in 33 states. We've got another two states that we're training, so we'll soon be up to 35 out of the 50. And we are approaching our 10,000th person who's been through Annie's Project. So the growth in the 10 years that this program has been in existence has just been phenomenal.
And we're going to ask our audience to join us, ask questions. We figure we have some female farmers out there, some landowners, some young women that might be married into a farm family, maybe never grew up on a farm. And we hope that they will join our conversation, ask you some questions, maybe ask Stephanie Butcher some questions as well. They can do that at 217-333-9455 and a couple of other ways. We can tell you about those in just a bit. But call in at 333-9455. Stephanie Butcher is here as well. She's from Mount Auburn, Illinois. And you grew up on a farm, right?
Yes, I did. I grew up on a farm in Mount Pulaski.
Yeah, not too far away from Mount Auburn in the Springfield, Central Illinois part of the area.
That's right, just south down the road.
Yeah, not too far away. And then you married into the Butcher family.
Yes, I did. My husband and his family have farmed in the Mount Auburn area almost 100 years.
Now, your story is a bit like many other farm women, I think. The guys went out, they do the work. And sometimes you're the bookkeeper. Sometimes you just have no idea what's going on.
Right. And growing up on a farm, it was more the traditional, as you say, that the man went out and farmed and the women brought the lunch or did the bookwork. And in marrying into the farm family, I've worked off the farm, but my in-laws were becoming of the age that I knew that I would have to fall back into the farming operation and help my husband out more. So I was looking for an education class that would provide me with the skills that I thought I would need to take over. So I was very excited to find the class, Annie's class, in the Sangamon Extension newsletter, and went there and met six other lovely ladies, and I was overwhelmed with the information. It is exactly what I needed.
Can I take you just back a bit before we get to the Annie's Project classes and how you were enrolled?
Mm-hmm.
How did the conversation take place that said, I need to be involved or want to be involved, or maybe it was, Stephanie, can you be involved? I don't know. How did that happen?
The conversation...
Or did it not take place and you took the classes? I can imagine all kinds of ways.
It really didn't take place. My father-in-law and my mother-in-law and my husband farmed together. And I think my father-in-law visioned himself on the farm forever. And so I knew there'd become a point that I would have to step in, and I wanted to be prepared for when that question was asked of me to step in and feel confident that I had the skills to do that. So.
Okay, and then you found the classes, right?
I found the classes, yes.
Tell me about the beginning of that.
As I said, there were six other lovely women in the class. We were all of all age range, and I think actually I was probably on the younger side. And, it just offered fast tool.
Oh, sure.
That's offered by the extension.
Right, fast tool. So that's at the Farm Doc website.
That's correct.
Right.
And had lots of information for me.
The Excel spreadsheets and such that you were able to download and start to use. And since you were a secretary and remain, are you still you're a secretary at Sangamon County somewhere?
Right? Yes, I am.
Right? So you were used to using computer, and Excel spreadsheets probably were something you were used to maybe seeing?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Okay. So that was one of the easy step forwards for you. But I bet some of your classmates were not so enthused about those Excel spreadsheets from the fast tool section.
No, I think that there were several women that had never been on a computer before. So I did feel that I had the advantage of having computer skills over some of the other ladies that did not.
All right. Well, we have one phone call waiting, and I want to bring Emily into the conversation very quick. Good morning to you, Emily. You're from Champaign here, or you have farmland here in Champaign County?
Yes, that's right.
All right. So you have a question for us this morning?
Yes, I have some farmland that I inherited from my mother, and I never know how much rent I should charge. And when the time comes, I try to call around to the Farm Bureau or farm manager, but I never know for sure if that's the right amount.
So your question is, how do you figure it out?
Yes.
Well, Emily, I think you're doing very good by asking questions. That's always the very first thing that you want to do. And actually, when the type of questions you're asking, when you're asking Farm Bureau and talk to Extension and farm managers, I call that the external part of the market. You're looking at what the demand for farmland is when you're talking to them. The second piece to your puzzle, and this is what I teach women in Annie's Project, is you need to know something about the productivity of your farm as well. So what you're looking at is how much gross revenue your property generates. Gross revenue is going to be determined by how many bushels of corn that your ground produces times a reasonable price. And then once you get your gross established, you can look at it as a percentage. And I would recommend that, you're from Champaign area here?
Yes, my land is in Piatt County.
Piatt County. Okay, so you, again, some of God's great earth right there, I'll tell you, you women here in the central part of the state. What you're going to do then is take that gross revenue figure and put a range of rent on it. And for you, I would recommend somewhere between, say, 30 and 35% of gross. And that'll be the range of rent. Then you can compare that figure to the figures that are being reported to you from the farm bureaus, from the extension, the external, the bidding for that farm ground. And then you're going to negotiate that lease somewhere in between what the productivity of your farm is and what the demand for farmland is around you.
Stephanie, you look like you wanted to say something when she called in. No, I thought you had something. Because cash rents, now, honestly, this is the place I get in trouble on the air. If you talk about cash rents on the air very much, people get really mad. So you have to be careful about that one. Because everybody has a little cash rented property one way or the other. And it's very difficult. One of the other places, and Ruth will know this, that you can pick this up is that the United States Department of Agriculture does a survey. And that happens, I believe, in the month of May. And you can get the average cash rent for your county from USDA. And I think if you, Emily, just search average cash rent, USDA.gov in Google, you'll find that. And it'll show it for Piatt County. So you have an you'll have kind of something you can look at and say, this is what the average cash rent in the county is.
And you can also look it up on FarmDoc. FarmDoc has a lot
FarmDoc has that.
Yeah, good, mm-hmm. lot of good background information for you. But you're doing good. You've got the first piece down where you're looking at the supply of the land, the demand for the land, by asking your questions. Your next step then is to find what the gross revenue is of your property. For your part of the state, 30 to 35%, and that's going to give you your range. And then you've got lots of numbers to negotiate and come up with a real reasonable cash rent then.
Well, the problem is it's my cousin that farms land.
Okay, especially when we are dealing with families.
Right.
Emily, I'm going to ask you a question here, too, if I may. Is your writing or is your lease in writing?
No, it is not.
Okay. We're going to get the Ruth Hamilton survey now on leasing, or the Ruth Hamilton sermon on leasing land here. When you are dealing with family members, it is especially important that this lease be in writing. The leases that are pre-printed, ready to go, can be found at FarmDoc under the Farm Management tab. You'll find that we have leases written up for cash lease, crop share. There's livestock leases there. Emily, I want you to go to that website, or if you can't do it yourself, get a friend to do it for you and pull off a cash rent lease form. And the fact that it's your cousin, as a matter of fact, the University of Illinois did a survey not too terribly long ago on who are you leasing land to? And we found that there was really no significant break that was given to family members, as we were expecting. The educators at that time were thinking family members were getting breaks all over the place. And that survey, at least the population that we surveyed, it did not show that bias. We were wrong. Family members did not necessarily get a break.
Yes. At one time, I was getting $75 an acre.
I hope that was 15 and 20 years ago.
No.
Okay.
No, it wasn't. But I started to work at the Ag Library, and I found out different.
Well, and that's good. I mean, it is up to us to know, especially the women farm landowners, it is up to us to know what our asset is, what is its cash-producing ability, and then to be fair with those people who are going to farm it for us. So I think you are in that process of bringing it up to the fair level.
Also, I have received a letter from BP about wind farms.
Right.
But I don't think Piatt County has wind farms, do they?
No, but the question probably is, and I'm going to go out on a limb, that they were asking whether they could buy rights.
Yes.
Right? For your property. So,
right.
Ruth,
I tell you what, that is an extremely hot topic right now. My father, who owns 360 acres of land in Lee and Bureau counties, is going through that process that you're going through right now, Emily. They're putting parcels of land together. My dad went ahead and he did sign a lease. So it's one of those things you just need to read through it, find yourself a good support group that can help you with I'm going to say, getting everybody's viewpoint on it, because obviously the group that's bringing it to you is going to give you the, you know, everything is great about this side. There's going to be that other side, I'm going to call it the opposition, that you'll want to get their input. But in the end, it's going to be up to you to decide if you want to sign into this.
But the lease is for 90 years.
Well, you know, it's... I think for my dad, it was a long time lease as well.
Yeah, so there are many things that go along with property growth. So,
down my direction, it's oil, gas, especially with the fracking now. It's fired up in southern Illinois. You're talking about wind, Emily. Lots of I'm going to call it bundles of ownership that go with this land surface that we own.
So you own what's above you and what's below you oftentimes. So, Emily, when you're reading the contract, my guess is they're buying, I don't know, are they offering a cash to you for that lease for the 90 years? And their lease is probably saying for this amount of money, if we should decide to build on your property, these are the things that we will do, but we're going to pay you up front, and you can't let anybody else build on your property. Is that kind of the way the contract would lead?
I believe so. I attended a something from the Farm Bureau with Sarah Gorda, and they talked about the windmills and how it might destroy the farmland.
Now, how do you mean destroy the farmland? I mean, that's a pretty strong word.
If they did. They had the right to go right through your field whenever they wanted to.
And actually, when my dad's farmer was on the opposition side, when my dad signed the lease that said, yes, I want to be a part of the parcel, we don't know if he's going to get a windmill on his property just yet. At one point, they were talking two on his property, but, you know, we've not heard anything back. It's one of those, you know, wind-blowing, moving situations. Uh-huh. So farmers have farmed around telephone poles and power transmission lines.
Railway lines.
Railway lines.
For waterways. roadways, all kinds
ever.
Of things.
So I'm not sure that that's quite an argument that I would just trash a whole idea. In fact, I have talked to farmers who are around the wind farms who appreciate the roads, the access roads that go up to these. And it's a relatively small footprint, but still, you know, if you're driving... a 30-row planter down the field, and you've got to go around even a small footprint in the field. It's just that much of an inconvenience. So I would call it more of an inconvenience. I'm sure we're going to fire up some controversy here. But as I said, we farmed around telephone poles and transmission lines and you know, ditches and all kinds of things. I'm not sure that's the... I'll consider the argument, but I'm not going to put it at the top of my list.
Okay, thank you. I inherited the land from my mother, and no one ever talked to me about it.
Well, Emily, I hope to find you in an Annie's Project class when I'm up in this area again.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for calling, Emily. If you'd like to join our conversation, you can do it in several ways. 217-333-9455 is the easy way to do it. That's the phone number. Just call us in at 217-333-9455, or you can email us. I think the address is will-talk@illinois.edu, and you can join us on Facebook and couple of other places, too. So let's continue our conversation. It is will-talk.illinois.edu and Twitter at Focus580. That's Twitter at Focus580. So lots of things that you can do. I made note that you use the FarmDoc site quite a bit about Annie's Project.
Yes, in fact, a lot of the resources developed from the University of Illinois, the Ag Econ Department. We rely heavily on that because it is continually updating. I have my cup of coffee looking at the FarmDoc website, and then the other one that just escaped my mind here, FarmDoc Daily.
FarmDoc Daily. Two different websites.
Two different websites. FarmDoc Daily, excellent. They keep it's almost a blogging website.
It is a blog, actually.
It's a educational blog that you can read up on the latest issues there. So, Emily, if you're still listening, I would go to FarmDoc Daily, and I'll bet you'll find stuff on the windmill issues there as well.
Yeah. So to find the Excel spreadsheets and the FAST tools, the things that we'll talk about as we make our way through through this conversation here. You go to farmdoc.illinois.edu, and you look under the FAST tool section. That's listed over on the left-hand side. Not that I visit these pages very often or that it's my job to talk about them on occasion. And then the FarmDoc Daily website, which contains a lot of the same information but lacks the tools.
Lacks the tools, and it's more in-depth. Yeah. And there's a group of excellent writers that share the responsibility, Scott Irwin, Gary Schnitke, Bruce Sherrick. Those are just a few of the names that I know have done articles that just I've been able to use regularly.
And that address is farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Most of the websites here on the Urbana-Champaign campus end with illinois.edu. That's the domain name. But if you search FarmDoc Daily, you'll find it. If you search FarmDoc, you'll find both of them.
They do link back and forth. They have direct links to each other that you can just click. Once you get to one, you can get to the other and vice versa.
Stephanie, tell me about the first night of class. Do you remember it?
Oh, yes.
Oh, and I remember Stephanie, too.
Okay. Well, tell me about it.
So, Stephanie, you start, and then I'll fill in.
Oh, well, observing the other women in the class and who had technology skills and who didn't, it sort of brought me back to, and as I said, I was probably one of the younger ones in the class. So, The topic, I think, that night was learning about the human resource part.
Right.
And knowing who you're farming with. And I found that very, very interesting and sparked a lot of questions. And my husband will tell you, she came home with lots of questions that I had to listen to and answer. But I found it refreshing as well to know the type of information that I to have at hand. So,
and I remember Stephanie so distinctly in that class there at Sangamon County in Springfield there, just because she was that one of the target audiences that I had. This is a daughter-in-law in a fairly substantial size family farm operation who has skills and a desire to take the place over. I don't want to make it sound like it's a, you know, a coup or anything here, but she had a place on the farm here. You know, you knew that you could do different things, but convincing the family of that is one of the challenges that I know women who marry into farm operations have. Are they genuine in their request to do the records or become part of the farm operation? And Stephanie actually became a leader of that group because of her technology ability. She was able to help several of the women who were afraid to touch computers. And I think by the end of the week, we were all pounding away on them, you know, by the end of the 6-week period.
Yes.
So it's something that women help each other grow quite a bit in this. And Stephanie, you were a little bit shy. You didn't know if it was okay to ask questions. We encourage questions. That's the way women learn. That's the methodology of Annie's Project. We bring in instructors, and I remember the one that we hijacked. It was the guy from FSA office. I can't think of his name right now. Again, there goes the name thing.
Tom Foran, I believe. Mm.
Anyway.
I know Tom.
He came in with his PowerPoint loaded for bear, and I didn't think he got past the fourth PowerPoint, and you ladies took him in, and you asked him question after question after question, and he fell in love with the program at that point because he had never given a presentation where people were actually interested in what he had to say. So, you know, here's Stephanie and her group
right.
just drilling him for questions, and they were learning in the way that women learn. You get us started, and we ask questions. They go home, and they ask questions. And the Annie's Project has given a lot of women, I'll call it cover or permission, to ask those questions. We're not being nosy. We're being responsible here. We have a need to know about some of this stuff. So I'm taking an Annie's Project course. Here's a homework assignment that I have. Please help me through it. And I think that's exactly what you did, Steph. You went home. By the end of 6 weeks, Mark was kind of meeting you at the door going, what did you learn tonight?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And
did you teach him anything? Did he learn from you? I bet he did. Surely he did. I know he did.
Well, I think he does. He doesn't really tell me out. He's like, oh, you've talked about Annie's project again, is his usual response.
You've taken the course more than once?
Yes, I did. I've taken it 3 times.
Well, several women actually repeat the course. You said it before. We overwhelm you with this information. Even over a 6-week, 18-hour period, it can be overwhelming.
And each class had a different dynamic, a different set of questions and group of women. And so it was a constant learning experience for me. I think the most memorable out of the first class, I believe we had Mark Gold come down and do our marketing segment. And
Mark Gold from Top Third.
And
right.
I found the information he presented overwhelming and trying to take it all in. So that encouraged me to take another class.
All right. Well, you're listening to Illinois Public Media. This is WILL AM 580. Our talk show, we call it Focused. Our guest in studio with us, Stephanie Butcher, who is a farmer, a farm wife, lives and works on a grain farm and in Sangamon County there at Mount Auburn. Ruth Hamilton is with us as well. She founded Annie's Project. More with the two of them in a moment. Well, you're listening to Illinois Public Media. I'm Yovai Extension's Todd Gleason, guest hosting Focus this morning. Our panelists, I'll call them panelists, our guest in studio with us, good friends, Ruth Hamilton, who I've known for a long time and worked with in my extension work, and then, of course, Stephanie Butcher, who's from, well, my old stomping grounds over in the Mount Pulaski area, and she now lives and farms with her husband, Mark, there in Mount Auburn. On the phone line with us to join the conversation, and you can do this too at 217-333-9455, is Lori. She's from Mahomet. Good morning to you, Lori. Thanks for calling in. You have a question?
Yes. I'm very lucky in that I've married a really good person he's like a fifth-generation farmer. And his mom and dad are also very glad to have me there. And in the future, right now we have small children, but because his parents are getting older, the idea is that I'm going to help more on the farm, which I'm really glad to do. They do things pretty old school in that they use the paper books to do their bookkeeping. And I'm wondering, I've heard about Quicken. I want to take a class on that in the future. I don't know if you guys had any opinion on using Quicken for bookkeeping. And then also, when you might have classes in the East Central Illinois area in the future. I'm assuming it looks like on your website it'd be like maybe in February, like in early spring, you know, when you're not out planting. Anything else? Oh, also, because they have been planting, farming for so long, I think they do a really good job, but as far as issues like maybe trying to do no-till or things like that, introducing new kinds of farming techniques might be perhaps a little harder. I don't know if I were to come in and say, hey, you know, can we try this new kind of farming to see how it goes?
Oh, interesting questions. And I the last one intrigues me. I can hardly wait for your answer on that one.
Yeah, I'm in love with Lori here because, again, you represent a pretty broad group of women. Mm-hmm. I'm going to let Steffi talk to you about the record keeping because that's what she does.
Okay.
I, as I said, had used the FarmDocs program, Fast Tool, and Excel spreadsheets.
Okay.
However, I just did convert to the Quicken because my accountant was asking me to.
Now, Quicken or QuickBooks?
Quicken.
You did Quicken. Okay.
Okay. So, and he asked because it was for tax purposes, because it was easier for him to get at your numbers, or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. At first, I was very nervous. However, it did, once I got into it, I liked it very much, found it very, very helpful, very useful. A lot of information poured back out. So
is this Quicken or QuickBook or?
Yeah, Steffi's a Quicken user, and then there is QuickBooks.
Okay.
QuickBooks, I know, is preferred by the accountants.
It is QuickBooks. I apologize.
Oh, I thought you were
they both come from the same. They're both Quicken, right?
Intuit products.
Yeah, they're both Intuit products.
Intuit products.
Okay.
I'm a Quicken user. Stephanie is a QuickBook user. We do know that FBFM in Illinois Farm Business Farm Management uses PC Mars. It's another record keeping.
That's an account. Yeah.
That's an accounting package for farmers that record keeping associations have adopted. So you've got several options to look at.
Okay.
And yes, adopting, in fact, Stephanie, you gave us an idea. we're going to hold a class here next spring on from spreadsheet to Quicken or QuickBooks, because we did find a number of women in the Annie's Project keeping records on spreadsheets. That's fine.
Okay.
But when you get into Quicken or QuickBooks, the search functions are easier. The report functions are so much better. Your accountant loves you so much more when you have it organized in those computerized software packages.
And I found it to be simple entry, one entry instead of multiple entries. So.
Okay.
Right. So let me encourage you to watch for our class on that. Classes, we generally hold them from January through March.
Okay.
Is the period of time that you can expect to find us. We are planning for the 2014-15 year, and we're going to be doing that tomorrow. So, Lori, I'm just going to recommend that you watch our website and pick up classes there, or if you can give her the producer's name and leave your email address, we'll be in contact with you that way.
Okay.
Okay. And then how about being involved in, Stephanie, I wonder about the being involved in the, you do the books, but how about decisions on what happens in the field? Those are two different items altogether.
I would say that my husband and I work more in partnership. He discusses a lot more with me, bounces ideas off of me, and I give him my feedback to what information that I've read on various websites or various periodicals. He still has the final decision because he has farmed since he was a little boy and has the experience of his dad and his grandfather.
You're head parts runner, I know.
I'm head parts runner, yes. I'll get a call from and say, can you stop by this place to pick up this part? It'll be sitting out.
Do you run the combine or the tractor?
No, I don't.
Have you ever learned?
They've taught me how to run two of the tractors.
right.
I understand that if I retire, then I'm to become a semi-truck driver, not something I'm fondly looking forward to. But
so you'll remain a runner, relatively speaking.
Yeah. I encourage them. I said, I think that combine looks a lot better to run. You know, it has the computer and the controls that I used to with my keyboard, but. So I get a lot of different feedback. My son has joined the operation in 2010, so he sort of helps me learn some of the different pieces of equipment.
Well, let me ask you a different question, and Ruth, I'd like you to jump in, because specialization has always been one of the keys in agriculture and its ability to continue to grow revenue. And so how much input does your husband have on the books and the marketing side?
A lot.
Oh, okay.
A lot.
I was guessing maybe not as much, so that it was more that you had specialized into the books and the marketing, and maybe the books as
more so
to the
books. Yeah. The marketing, I would really have to say that we discuss that together. We come up with our strike price that we want to get for the crop.
Mm-hmm.
And when he gets ready to sell, he'll call me and said, okay, well, what do you think? And I'm like, well, here's what we've discussed, and we follow through on the plan.
All right. Emily, other questions you have? Oh, Emily, Lori, I'm sorry. I was not reading. That's okay. Don't worry about it. So let's move on then, Ruth. You started this class because your mother had to learn it the hard way, and you're proud of it. It seems to be really successful. Has it done what you thought it would do when you started it?
It's actually exceeded any expectations I could have ever had on it. We struck a nerve when we put the Annie's Project together because women want to learn how to do things on the farm. This is their desire. They have a demand to know this information. That's what grows our program. We are not a supply side at all. Supply side meaning we put it together, then we put it out there and say, okay, who wants this? People are knocking on our door wanting this, so we provide it on a demand basis. if you had said 10 years ago when I wrote that grant that this program would still be growing, that we would be nationwide, I would have looked at you and said no. Because when I wrote the grant, I fully intended to go through my year of education program. I think that first year we hit 86 women was the total statewide count. We're still in touch with some of those women. And not in my wildest dreams did I think I was going to write a year-end report and then be done with it. 10 years later, here I am, ahead of a not-for-profit that'll be fundraising to sponsor programs nationwide in the U.S. territories.
Why women? I mean, other than it was your mother, why women? Why point for them?
That's where the educational demand is. That's where I found my niche. Let me back up a little bit. With Todd mentioned that I worked extension. For the first 30 years of my life, I was working extension, first in Washington County as the ag advisor, and then I moved into farm management, marketing, educator position with the University of Illinois. The first 25 years of those 30 years, I spent putting a program out there that was supposedly for everybody. And Todd, you go to these programs, mm-hmm. and when you stare out over those faces, what do you see?
Oh, when I host and MC programs for 98% male.
Male. And Stephanie, why won't you go to a meeting that's 98% men?
Not wanting to express or ask a question and feel being judged. Oh, why did she ask that? That is so stupid.
And while she's saying it's a stupid question, I'll guarantee you
the rest of them have the question.
The rest of them have the question, but they just don't have the moxie that the women have to ask that question. Now, when you put the women together in a group, that empowers them to ask their question.
Okay, so I have another question, and it comes from Jerry, who's on the phone line. He's from Urbana here. I think this will work out quite nicely. Jerry, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well.
What's your question?
Well, I am a farm boy that did not farm, and now that my dad has died and my mother is quite elderly, my sister and I will be taking on the farm and cash renting at this point. But a lot of the questions that I haven't kept up with farming, and I guess my main question is it possible for men to participate in Annie's project?
Yes, we have had men participate in our program. We advertise it as a program for women and men. If you can take the heat of the kitchen, you are invited to join us and to stay.
Well, I can do that, and I can ask questions.
You bet. And in the few classes that we do have the men, it is the opposite of what Todd has described here. You are going to be the minority male in a group of women. So first, feel comfortable with that. And then join in. A lot of times the women in the group will actually bounce things off the male of the group.
Just to see the reaction.
Just to see the reaction. What happens if I do this? And then I'll look at the guy in the room
cool.
to see what the reaction is. And, you know, as I said, if you take the heat of the kitchen, you are more than welcome to stay with us.
Okay, sounds good.
Hey, thanks so
Jerry,
much, Jerry.
We'll look for you.
Thank you.
Okay, you can join this conversation if you'd like. We're talking with Ruth Hambleton and Stephanie Butcher. 217-333-9455 is the number to call. We have, 10 or 15 minutes left in the hour. So if you want to join the conversation, please do give us a call. Over the 10 years, it's been 10 years, right?
You're right.
Since you started the project. What have you learned? What have you had to change?
What have we had to change? When we started Annie's Project, I'm going to say 1 out of 10 had email. Now it is our primary method of communication.
Yes.
It's just the emails. I hardly put anything on a stamp on anymore and send out the door, sorry, U.S. Post Office. Mm-hmm. I realize that that's not what you want to hear. But just that instantaneous communication that you can get out there with those email lists, I found to be very empowering. So that's something we really changed. Otherwise, it was all stuff an envelope, mail it out to people. We still go through newsletters. We still work with extension offices who offer the program, and they put us in their newsletters. So our program is heavily dependent on the partnerships that we developed. We develop partnerships with Extension, with Farm Bureau, with Farm Credit. We have two Farm Credit Associations in Illinois, First Farm Credit of Illinois and Farm Credit Services of Illinois. So we work very closely with them. As a matter of fact, right now our major project that we've got going with them is the second level Annie's Project classes. That's the other change that we've done. Mm-hmm. Is we've got the base class down, and we're still offering the basics. We have not scratched the surface yet of who's all going to attend those programs. So Jerry, Lori, and Emily, if you come into those classes, those will be the basic level. But we also have the second level courses. And the one that we're working on with Farm Credit right now is called Managing for Today and Tomorrow. And that is the Succession, Business, Estate, and Retirement Planning Program. And it is a five-session course, 5 times 3, so 15 hours of education, preparing women to not just be a part of the business, but how to succeed it or how to transition it to that next generation. We have found that women can play a pivotal role in understanding the process. What's the business plan got to do with it at this point? What is the succession plan versus transitioning? What is this estate plan that we're putting together? And retirement. Oh, my goodness, retirement is one of those things where if you talk to any farmer and any farmer who's listening, you know what I mean. They use the farm as their retirement plan. As Jerry pointed out, he's inheriting the farm from his mother. And most times, if you listen to farmers talk, they are inheriting from an aunt, a mother, a grandmother. I'm sorry, men, you die first. Women are the survivors. And so if they're going to survive and if this retirement plan is going to become theirs, they need to have a hand in it. They need to understand it.
Right.
So that's our next big program is Managing for Today and Tomorrow. We're planning those classes as well. So, again, just keep your eyes and ears open. Make the request to Extension. Extension will call and ask us for the program.
Hey, if you visit the Annie's Project website, I think you will find that it is hosted out of Iowa State.
Yes, Iowa State is where our national office is located, national mm-hmm. office at Ames, Iowa, ISU. Madeline Schultz is our project program coordinator, who is very instrumental in helping us with a lot of the grants and a lot of the coordination at the nationwide level.
So how did it end up there?
It ended up there in that ISU prioritized farm women audiences. At the time, Extension was going through a reorganization here within the state of Illinois. Mm-hmm. And we had asked if Illinois wanted it. Did they want to do the program, the national office in the state of Illinois? And they turned it down. They had other priorities. And if you watch, the University of Illinois has done a marvelous job in the internet, the online, if you want to ask a question, you can find it just fabulously on the FarmDoc Daily websites. Mm-hmm. The women audience just at that time was not their priority, and ISU was willing to take it. So that's how we developed our partnership with them.
How old is the oldest participant in the classes, and how young is the youngest participant in the classes?
Let's see.
Do you know?
92.
92.
I was going to say, I think 92.
Yeah, 92 was the oldest. And you will be, I have lots of hope for me when I hit 90 that my brain is going to be in half the shape that some of these women were in.
Right.
So 92 at the upper end and probably at the lower end. I know in Bond County I had a 16-year-old girl in the class. I've had, and actually on the western side of the state, I've had some homeschool children join with their mother in coming to the class. I'm not sure I would count them. I think the youngest was maybe 12 years old. They would be in it more for the math and the science.
Yeah, they were there for math and science
right,
and learning.
Right, mm-hmm. and the learning. And we're more than happy to accommodate the homeschooling bunch because we do have a lot of management type education, very practical trade skills that we can pass on.
So the 92-year-old and those the women that are older that are obviously seniors, they're there because their husbands passed away before them?
Their husbands passed away, and they are in the process of coordinating this new dance. Now the siblings are around them saying, who gets the farm? And mom can be very easily swayed if she doesn't know what the plan is, if she doesn't have something that she can follow. That's something we want to train women in this program. We have hearts. We all have hearts as the female. Yeah. We are the heart of the farm. But we want them to also have a brain to go with that. And that is the plan. That's the understanding of this asset is going to go here, this business is going to transition to this person over here, and we want to make it all affordable.
Stephanie, when you were young, growing up on the farm, what do you think your role was?
My role?
Right. I mean, I grew up on the farm, and I knew what my role was. It was to walk beans, relatively speaking, and do whatever Dad told me to do out on the farm.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think your role was?
Well, I was a bean walker also.
Yeah?
I helped feed the livestock, helped with the garden. So I was there to help the family in that aspect of the farm, helping with...
Did you want to marry a farmer?
Yes, I did.
Ooh, she's an Annie.
She's an Annie.
Annie wanted to marry a farmer. So, and actually, statistically, only 20% of the women in our classes want to marry a farmer. The other 80% just happened to get a guy that came with a farm attached to him. So,
So when you married your farmer, what do you think your role was?
Well, at first, I knew I was going to have to work off the farm.
yeah, that was, what, in the mid-1980s, 1990s?
Yes, it was.
Tough time.
And it was sort of a running joke. The question was, would I be able to join the farming operation? And the reply was, give me 5 years to get established in farming, and then we'll see how you can fit into the farming operation. On my 25th wedding anniversary, I rolled over and looked at my husband and said, would you happen to be established in farming yet?
How'd that go for you?
He laughed and said, well, I think I am. But at that point, my in-laws were just beginning to think about retiring. So he said just to hold on.
So it was the transition period, or in this case,
succession.
The succession period, right?
Yes. Yes.
And so. That was your key?
That was my key, to start preparing and get ready for being there as a support system for that transition.
What was the most important thing you learned?
Oh, I would have to say on the business side, the marketing, learning more about the marketing and the crop insurance.
We have another phone call. I think Chip's on the line.
Hi, Chip.
He's in Philo. Hi, Chip. How are you today?
Hello?
He's not there. We'll maybe have him call back if he's interested. Let me see. Chip, are you with me?
Yes. Hello.
Oh, hi. How are you today? What's your question?
Hey. Well, I used to work with Ruth years ago. I think it's the same Ruth Hampton.
Hey, Chip. How you doing?
Okay. I was just curious about the kind of penetration of high-speed internet for rural communities nationwide and whether, you know, how much of, it sounds like most of these classes are in person and those are all wonderful, but sometimes you need more immediate kind of information.
Exactly. Oh, and Chip, by the way, you were one of the first people to give me one of my first passwords and I'm still using it. So that's a long time ago.
Yeah.
It sure is.
Okay, question about the high-speed internet. Excellent point. First off, in the rural areas, people are going to have to tell me how it's going. I have to use satellite where I am. And Steph, you're DSL?
I use wireless.
You're a wireless as well. Chip, it's probably not as good out in the country as we would like it to be. The reason why we meet in person is because we also provide a social networking, a support group within the program teaching that you're not going to get off the internet. Now, we have been approached numerous times to put our course on the internet. That may happen down the road, but right now what we're valuing here is that networking that takes place amongst a group of ladies, some who grew up just a couple of miles from each other and never met, and now are good friends and supporting each other out there. But, yeah, Chip, the high-speed internet issue within the state of Illinois, I'm hoping before I die everybody has it and that we're going to be utilizing it to the max.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And I'm just delighted to see how large this project has grown. And kudos to you.
Well, good to hear from you, Chip.
Thank you so much for calling in, Chip. Chip calling in from Philo, right here in Champaign County. Any final word or thought you might have for those who are interested in Annie's project, and maybe Stephanie, while she's doing that, you can think about really what it's meant to you.
Oh, final words. I always get caught with this question, and I don't know why. A million people have asked me it, and I always give a different answer every time.
It's the cop-out question for interviewers at the end of the session.
You're just out of questions now. So,
no,
okay.
I'm not
time
out of questions. We're out of time.
Probably just people keep your eyes on our websites for the upcoming classes. I am available. You can reach me. Just Google me. My email address is out there for you to email me. My phone number is also out there as well, so you may give me a call. I still do private consultations with quite a number of farm families within the state here.
Annie's, as I've said, has been invaluable, and I welcome any more new courses. I haven't been able to make it to this second class, but look forward to trying to go to it in the coming year. But I was a sponge, or I am a sponge, when it comes to learning more about the farm, and Annie's has provided me that invaluable information.
Stephanie Butcher, Ruth Hambleton, thank you so much for joining us on this edition of Focus. I can't tell you how much fun I had with you this hour.
You're welcome, and thank you for having us.
Well, that wraps up this edition of Focus. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.